We need to pray for our, continue to pray for our president, the people that he is helped by, surrounded by, the Congress, the whole Congress, the Supreme Court, our state government officials. We need to pray and continue to pray. We are mandated by the Word of God to pray for them. First of all, that those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will walk in the fullness of the identity that they have in Jesus in what they are doing, the jobs that they are called to right now. Number two, for those that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they would come to a full and saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord, that they would hear the gospel from somebody.
Amen.
And come to know how much, how deeply, how real God's love for them is. And that there is an answer, and it is not a political party or a reasoned out issue of science or whatever it might be. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through Him.
Amen.
He is the only way, and people need to know.
Amen.
We are in last days. We are living in the last days. We didn't choose it. We didn't pick it. We didn't assign the time of our lives. We didn't assign it for 2020 and or the last few years to really become evident. But it is here. We can't change that. Some of us would like to. Let's go back to the way things were. It ain't never going to happen. We're not going back. Things are going to stay the same. Actually, they're going to progress right up into the return of Jesus Christ. This is it now. You know that for generations people have thought, well, this is it. No, this is really it. Biblically, scripturally, the signs, the prophetic, everything that the Lord has laid out for us to see and know and understand are here, they're happening, they're being fulfilled before our eyes. And the hearts of people are either going towards the hopelessness that the world presents and we got to fix this ourselves, or there are open doors to reach people through the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because eternity is upon us. And if we don't have eyes on eternity from now on, we're going to miss the things that the Lord wants to speak to us, do through us, bring to us. We're going to miss these things because we're going to get off track. We're going to get sidelined for some reason. We're going to get caught up in this world stuff. I get the news that I do read predominantly. You know, I check the headers, the news, and I'm going to call it loosely, the lying news reports predominantly. And they're all the same, whatever station, whatever you have. I mean, they're just all the same. They're all focused in one direction, and that's the manipulation that you see happening. The mind control, and to get your emotions pointed in a particular direction. There is something behind this, and it is the Antichrist spirit. The one that I read is called, predominantly is called the Epoch News. It's E-P-O-C-H, and it's more value-oriented, moral oriented. It's more, the news in it is legitimate, and they cover the reality of all kinds of issues, not one particular thing. So I would recommend, if you're going to read anything or see anything, that would be it. You'll get the most truth. Okay? We are in last days. We're going to see more fulfilled. I'm going to go into this next week to a deeper degree of what I want to tell you, what I feel like the Lord has told me, shown me, pointed out to me, and what lines up with the Word. I want to share this with you next week as far as where we're going and give you a heads up of what I feel that He's preparing me for. And I don't mean me personally, but me to prepare you for, okay? Corona, the China virus, has unveiled the reality of the last days. It's through all the inner workings of what brought this about, how people throughout the world and leaders around the world have reacted, how economies and financial crises and or not, lockdowns, loss of liberty, and all the parts and pieces that go into the coronavirus, it has unveiled the Antichrist spirit and the working of the Antichrist spirit far more than ever has. It's just blatant. The world can't see this because the God of this age, according to the word, has blinded their eyes, right? We know this. This is the Antichrist spirit and his stormtroopers. This is what's going on. All this is saying is that Jesus is coming soon. Please get ready. Don't take this lying down. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it like, yeah. Jesus is coming soon. That is the reality. You are to be prepared. So, we are in this right now. Please turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to read something to you as we go through this. The title of this message today is called Use What You Have. Use What You Have. I got to tell you, my head is bouncing all over the place, has been for weeks, with, okay, Lord, how do I narrow this down? This volume of information, scripturally and legitimately throughout all the world, this historical and current event perspective, how do I narrow this down to really bring, without staying on this for like 3 years, how do I bring this to our church? Learning to live through the last days and use what you have, we've been given specific certain things in our lives as born again believers in Jesus Christ, right? We consider ourselves true disciples of Jesus Christ, right?
Amen.
Not Christians per se, because anybody can be a Christian and call themselves a Christian, and they're not. They may be or they may not be. But a true disciple of Jesus Christ is somebody that you know is walking and living for Jesus Christ in their whole life, in how they live and what they do and their focus, their whole trajectory and their whole purpose of what they are about. That is a disciple of Jesus Christ. So, understanding that, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul writes the Word of God to us. All Scripture, all of the Word, is God-breathed to us, is given by His inspiration, the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Reproof is proving out. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God, the child of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, what I want to focus on this morning is complete, that you are complete. All of us that are born again, God wants us to be complete. Are we complete in our spirit? Yes. But the rest of us needs to catch up.
Amen.
And this is a continual process. God intends for us to be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Living through these last days requires that we use what we have, but we have to know what we have in order to use it. And then we've got to be willing to use what we have to apply it, to see the fruit of it, right? The Word of God brought the knowledge of salvation. Salvation being eternal life, righteousness, joy, peace, healing, prosperity, preservation, deliverance, and much, 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 much more. That is all wrapped up in the salvation package. It's given to us. It's not something we have to work for or we have to earn. Salvation came by grace through Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection for us. Then, the Holy Spirit himself invaded our being and recreated our immortal spirit and sealed us with his holiness, his purity, so that our spirit, and I'm putting my hands into my torso here, but our spirit that makes up who we really are. First of all, we are immortal. All of us are. Every human being on this planet is. Every human being on this planet is going to be someplace after this life. We are immortal. We have to think about seeing things through the eyes of eternity in our whole lives. This immortal spirit was sealed by his holiness and purity, recreated so that it could not be contaminated or really destroyed by sin anymore, because we believed the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us, not anything we did, but all that he did. That is where our new creation identity is wrapped right up in. Okay? Now, after Jesus accomplished what he did, and he's out with his disciples, and he's getting ready to ascend to heaven, he promised one more thing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit with power. We're not going to go there for time's sake, but in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, Jesus told the disciples to gather together and wait for the promise of the Father. And they were going to receive power. They were going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. I can only imagine what it felt like to be in the room and be together and be so in awe of the fact that they saw Jesus, who was risen from the dead. And to have him tell, this, I take this personally, I put myself there like you all know, have him say, I want you to go and wait because the promise of the Father is for you. Now they understood this to be Joel chapter 2, the Spirit of God was going to be poured out on them. What does that mean? What is that all? What happened? What's the trigger? Where does it come from? What does it all entail? Now, they'd walked with Jesus. They'd healed people. They'd gotten people delivered. They cast out devils. They shared the word. They baptized people in water. But Jesus said, this is coming. This is for you. This is in addition to your salvation. This comes with it. Come on. Now, the anticipation, the questions and the anticipation had to be huge. Like, oh, wow, what's this going to be like? I haven't got a clue. How about you? Nope, I don't either. But we're going to wait for it. And then, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The Holy Spirit fell on the disciples. And when the Holy Spirit fell, there were a sound of a rushing wind. I don't know if you've ever heard a tornado or a hurricane. The volume of noise that comes with it is huge. But this was a sign to the world. This was the sign that they were seeing around the home or the place where they were gathered, where the disciples were gathered. And the disciples were bathed in tongues of fire. And they began to speak in other languages and proclaim the works of God. They weren't praying. They were preaching in other languages. So the Holy Spirit fell on them and doused them with his power and his presence. Can we get that door closed? And his reality. And these tongues of fire. If you study this out, it's a really fascinating study. Tongues represent a language. And they spoke in other languages. And they spoke to all kinds of different peoples that were around Jerusalem that heard this wind. And they were drawn to the place where this was happening, the sign. And they spoke about the works of God to the people that were there in language that they could understand. And the power of God was released, and thousands of people got born again. And the disciples began to go out, and they began to get people healed. And the supernatural power of God was with them. Not only in them, but with them. When's the last time we've anticipated the presence of God? When's the last time we've anticipated a Holy Spirit power move in our lives? When's the last time we have? Listen, every single time I come to church, I go, whoo, come on, come on, come on, come on. And you know what? God never disappoints. He always does this. But I'm anticipating. Now, listen. It's not only in church. What about at Menards? What about at Myers? What about at Costco? What about at work? Whoa. You can't do anything there because they'll put a clamp on you. Yes, you can. There are always ways to allow, and hear me, to allow the supernatural power of God to work through. But you've got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, guess what? You're lacking one part. Not that you're not going to heaven. You're just lacking the power to do and to live. It's kind of like going through these last days with out all your pieces and parts. You don't have to. Okay, let me jump ahead here. The disciples spoke in boldness. This wasn't them, man. They were timid. Do you understand what timid means? It means shy. It's like I used to be. Until I began to understand who I was, until I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, until I understood God's grace to me and his ability to me, and I said, okay, I'm going to step out. And I have seen things that would blow your mind. I haven't even shared them all with you yet. And it's been 10 years, right, that we've had church, or nearly. That's what the Lord has in store for all of us. This is last days living. This is what it's supposed to be like. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. The disciples were filled again with the Holy Spirit. The place where they were in was shaken. I'm not turning there, like I said, for time's sake. The place that they were in was shaken. They were all filled again. And they proclaimed the Lord again. Because the power of God, they'd been doused with again. When the Bible speaks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, here's what it means in the Greek. Here's the understanding. I will synopsize this for you. The second time, well, let me back up. The first time that they were filled with the Holy Spirit was speaking in tongues, and the power of God came upon them, and they were proclaiming the works of God. They were preaching the word of God in other languages. It means they were complete. They were covered. Jesus said in Luke 24, that they would be endued with power, clothed with power. It means they were covered. It means that they were filled in every sense of the word filled. But I want you to understand, they were complete. They were complete. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to fill us. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to complete us. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be reinforced in us. Because when they were filled again in Acts chapter 4, filled again, they were completed again. And it was, what happened was, the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in the Holy Spirit, was reinforced to them. It wasn't like they needed to be refilled because they were empty. God reinforced his presence and his power to them because they needed that, and we do too. We need to be filled again. We need to have the power of the Holy Spirit reinforced to us more than once. How are we going to use what we have? Because we are so surrounded by the world. The darkness is getting darker. How are we going to use what we have in this world to live through these last days in the power of God without being, see my quotes, filled again, reinforced with the power of God? I don't know about you, but that's what I want. The disciples used what they had in the Word and what came with their salvation and that internal sealing and all that came in healing and in deliverance and prosperity, and they lived in that, and they lived in righteousness and joy and peace, the supply and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they changed the world. The only way we're going to change anything. Now the time is set for Jesus' return. Period. The only way that we're going to push the darkness back is through the Word, through our salvation, our new identity, and through the power of God, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's what we do when we take what we have and we use it, because we're going to apply it to the world, to life, to circumstances, to the people around us. Lonnie did that this morning when he took authority in the Holy Spirit and prayed for Michigan in authority. Just an example. Would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please? 1 Corinthians. Is this making sense? I hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. All of us tend to think, I'm just a local yokel. I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing, I'm a zero. I got kids, I'm a parent, I got to do this, I got to take care, I got to go to work. I got stuff to do in my life. I'm busy. Come on. I can't do this stuff all the time. Nobody's asking you to do it all the time. That's not what the Lord's saying. He wants us to take what we use and who we are as people, as his people, his disciples of Jesus, and go and change this world around us. But again, it takes the Word of God. It takes our salvation, our new identity, and it takes the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the power of God. And we have to be reinforced, because the world tries to put this light out all the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, speaking to me and you. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing, the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him You are in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So what he's saying is, anybody that's a knucklehead, I can use and work through powerfully and mightily. I'm raising my hand because I'm there. You all know that I'm not perfect. Anybody that is a nobody, a nothing, a no account, can't do nothing, doesn't know nothing, I can work through mightily, powerfully, supernaturally, in huge ways. And I, through you, will confound and confuse and open up their ears, the world. I will reach them through you. The least in the world are the ones that he calls. That's us. That's me. Our education, whether we have it or whether we don't, doesn't mean anything. Our families, where we're from, how much money we've got, that doesn't mean squat. God takes us who we are, where we are, whatever we might be struggling with personally, and says, if you are willing to use what you have, I will do things through you that will blow people away, and you too. Okay? We must develop intimacy with the Holy Spirit. We have to. So often we get born again, we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we say, praise God, I know Jesus. And then we get introduced to the Father, because Jesus is the very image of the Father, right? And many of us had bad fathers. So we don't relate real well with the Father. We relate real well with Jesus. But Jesus and the Father are exactly the same. Same character, same nature, same presence, same compassion, same heart, same love, everything. And then we forget about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. So we develop an intimacy with Jesus and then hopefully an intimacy with the Father. And we kind of forget about having an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. It is important that we develop our intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Wow. He's a personality. He's not a thing or an it. He's the third person of the Trinity. He is God in us. Oh my gosh. I'm blown away still. He's sitting in us. The love of God with the character and the integrity and the faithfulness and the mercy and the truth and the patience and the kindness and the compassion. He has empathy and understands us. He can be grieved and he can be resisted. And yet he gives us gifts with power to do great things for the kingdom. See, in Jesus, we have all of the Holy Spirit right now. All of it. And with the baptism of the Holy Spirit come the gifts. Let me outline them real quick. These are everything that we have right now. This is supernatural. It's divine. It is a part of the divine nature of God that is in us and with us. The gifts, the supernatural gifts of God, the gift list, is the power that works in us and through us. It is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Please understand. This is taking what you have and using it. The baptism of the Holy Spirit has evidence. It isn't only speaking in tongues. Tongues are a part. They are, let me explain real quickly, a divine personal language that each of us has when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, Joel chapter 2. It is, tongues are for prayer, 1 Corinthians 14:14. They are for edification and faith building, Jude verse 20. For speaking and revealing mysteries, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. And for interpretation at times within the move of the Holy Spirit in a body of believers. And the other gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 4 through 11, I'm not taking to you a lot of scriptures today. They are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. They are tongues with an interpretation that comes with them for the body. Tongues in a language with an interpretation to build the body, to speak to the body, to encourage the body, to bring things up that the Lord is speaking. The other gifts are the working of miracles, the gift of faith. Now, this kind of faith is, the best way that I can describe it right now without detailing the theology is, it is a kind of faith that you know is a gift and is faith for something that you would not normally have. It is far beyond you. It is Him in you. Prophecy, another gift. Gifts of healings. We've seen all this stuff. Discerning of spirits. Good and bad. And helps in administrations, which covers a wide range. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So you've got a real need, and this is all of us, to understand what it is to have intimacy with Him. You know, I've been praying for, asking for, seeking out intimacy with the Holy Spirit at some time, because I'm not where I want to be. I get pictures of if you've ever seen Catherine Coleman. I mean, she was a weird lady. She just was. But you know, she had a relationship with the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father. But her relationship with the Holy Spirit empowered her to do things that we still watch the films and are mind-boggling, because the supernatural power of God is changing people's lives through her, because she has an intimate relationship with Him. And she understands that He's a person who is all the things of God in her and all the gifts of God to her to work through her. We don't get that yet, because we're still looking at us. And God's saying, I'm taking all the knuckleheads and I want to do these great things through them. Catherine Coleman was a knucklehead. Anybody that surrenders their life to Jesus Christ, please take this. I understand that I don't mean this literally. We're humbling ourselves and saying we can't do it. We can't save ourselves. We can't do anything. Jesus, only You can. Then He says, here, have the Holy Spirit. You're coming up in the world now. Okay. In last days living, we will continue to see biblical prophecy more and more fulfilled. And we will experience it. We will. As the dark gets darker, as I said, through those who are given over to the Antichrist spirit, and there are people, evil getting worse, and people are becoming and will become, you're going to see this and you're going to hear this, becoming more and more hopeless. Oh, we got another shutdown, lockdown, corona raised up its ugly head again. Our governor is putting on the skids to everything again. My business is going in the toilet. My life, my family are hungry. You know, and on and on and on. This isn't just Michigan. This is throughout our country and the rest of the world. And Corona's just an example. We're going to be seeing people become more and more disillusioned with life. But not necessarily drinking the Kool-Aid that the Antichrist spirit is selling. They're just trying to make it. And they're getting more and more hopeless. You've got their hope. Because in you and with you and everybody that has the word and salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power of God will become evident through you, and miracles will be more and more commonplace. This is coming. This is right now, but it's coming much, much more. Miracles will become more commonplace because those who believe God and have a relationship with the Father, with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will bring his power into play in the lives of the hopeless. These are the events in our lives that will show the evidence of the reality of the God of all creation to them. For all of us, this is why we need to be refilled. And when I say refilled, I mean the reinforcing of the power of God needs to be in our lives. I want to be refilled and refilled and refilled and refilled. We can get it in church a lot of times. We can get it personally with the Lord. We can get it in a Bible study. But we need to be refilled. That Holy Spirit power and presence, reality in our lives needs to happen more often than what's happened. Otherwise, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, we have a tendency to take this part of the grace of God for granted. Part of taking his grace in vain. Would you please turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14. Is it cold in here now? Oh man, I thought I'm freezing up here now. Pastor Honey? Thank you. I was going to call out for Tom's gloves here. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Jesus said, verse 15, if you love me, if you do, keep my commandments, keep my word, and I will pray and ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Wow, forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans or abandon you when I leave. I will come to you. Promise of the Holy Spirit. Internally, our new identity, all that God is inside of us, that divine nature, everything that makes us up as new creations, and the power of God to us, to work through us, whether we're speaking in tongues in prayer. You may even speak in a language that is known to somebody else. But a personal prayer language in tongues is specifically for communicating with the Lord. And the gifts, the rest of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the miracles, the healings, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, prophecy, all these aspects become ours, and they become a part of what we have. These last days require us to use what we have, to live out our lives in these times. So what do we do? Wrapping up. How do we make use of all we have to live through these days? Number one, we have got to make a decision to get intimate with the Holy Spirit. Talk to Him. Spend time with Him. Get to know His personality. You'll get to know His voice even better. Pray in tongues. Allow your spirit to pray. Allow Him to pray. Ask Him to help you get to know Him intimately. Number two, treat Him like you would Jesus and the Father. He's God. Treat Him like that. Don't take Him for granted. Lastly, and this I believe is the most important part, we must get past our head and our acknowledgement of, yep, all this stuff is true about the Holy Ghost. All this stuff is true about the Holy Spirit. Yep, I agree. And I've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues sometimes. Sometimes I'll go pray for people. Most of the time I don't expect anything. But, you know, hey, kind of doing this as I can. No. The reason we don't move in the Holy Spirit, here's what it is. Our heart is not conditioned to believe God wants to move through us. That's why. You see, I taught this in healing class last week or the week before. Our heart has a mind of its own. You can mentally assent to anything, mentally agree to anything. And the reason things don't change is because your heart's not convinced. Your heart has a problem. Yes. It has a mind of its own. It thinks on its own. It is conditioned to think and to believe in a particular way. And if you don't deal with your heart condition along with getting your understanding in the Word cleared up, your heart's going to hold you back from moving in the things of God in these last days. That's the bottom line. How do you get your heart conditioned? Start to speak to it. Speak to your heart. You tell it that it's changing. You tell it that it believes the Word of God. You tell it. You read to it the Word and you say, you believe this, heart. This is the truth. I want you to hear this. Talk to your heart like it's got ears, because it does. And start changing the condition of your heart to line up with the truth of the Word that you know in your head, that you read, that you understand with your new identity. And start telling your heart to expect, that it expects and it stands and it agrees with the Word of God, and the power of God flows through you. And man, you're going to walk up to people and pray for them. You're going to see them healed. You're going to see the miracles. You're going to have a word for somebody that's going to blow their socks off. And they're going to be drawn into the kingdom of God because of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in you. Amen? Okay. Praise God. Is there anybody that wants to get baptized in the Holy Spirit today?
Yeah.
Oh, come on up. Please. Praise God. Anybody else? Because the baptism, don't go out without it. Amen. Don't leave without the Holy Spirit. Hello, young lady.
How you doing, sir?
I'm Pastor Mike.
Bethany.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Praise
too.
God. You got a nice grip.
Yes, sir.
We have some prayer ministers here who are well able to get you baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they're going to explain how this works. Is there anybody else that does not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit or would like to be, anybody want to be refilled?
Let's refill.
Get up here. Right now. We're going to do it right now. We're just going to ask the Lord to do this. You see, For the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they're going to take you to Luke chapter 11. All you have to do is, the Father's given the gift. All you got to do is ask for it. And it comes with speaking in tongues. Do you understand how that all works?
No, it's not voodoo, is it?
No, it's not voodoo. All right. Now, you're born again, right? You know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?
I was baptized April 22nd.
Great.
18th,
praise God. All right. Tell you what. I'm going to send Ifoma. Are you leading? Okay. Ifoma and I feel like the Lord wants Johnny? Ifoma? Johnny, would you take this young lady over to the classroom? You can go ahead and shut the door. What they're going to do is they're going to talk to you about what you are signing up for. And they're going to make it real clear, okay? And you're going to receive... Now listen to me. You're going to... Teresa, you can go. And I want you to understand. You're going to receive the presence of God into your life and the power of God into your life. And you're going to speak with tongues. You're going to speak in a new heavenly divine language. And you're going to be praising the Lord because your life's about to change big time. Okay?
And I know that.
Welcome. Go ahead. Hallelujah. All right. Now for the rest of us, here's what I want. Here's what this is now from our hearts. I want to be refilled. I want to be recharged is what it is. Okay? I want the Holy Spirit to be reinforced in me. That's my desire. And I don't want just once, but I want to be reinforced in the Holy Spirit. This is part of God's grace to us. And this is part of what He wants to do for us. He knows we're finite. He knows that we're surrounded by this stuff. So let's close our eyes together. All right? Hallelujah. Lord, in anticipation, in our hearts right now, we come to you. We want to be refilled. We're asking you, and you don't hold back. Will you refill us? Recharge us. Reinforce us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that refilling. Man, I can feel the presence of the Lord. He's like He's got us in a bubble. There's a renewing going on inside of us. A renewing. And the power of God is being loosed in us to a greater degree right now. Right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit's moving up here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
If you need prayer or anything else, we've got a couple of prayer team people up here. Anybody else need prayer? If you do, come on up. You stay here as long as you want. If you want to stay, you can stay. If you need to go, you're dismissed. I love you all. God is doing the supernatural up here.